Always stand ready to give a reason for the hope that was within you. I thought this morning I was finished and I was really going to get to enjoy this meeting. But y'all pray for me. I need prayer again. Oh, I need to let you have the prayer. Right. Amen. Surely thankful for the good, humble prayer and continue to ask that you would pray for us. Heavy scriptures like to follow along. We want to go back and start in Isaiah chapter 52. Of course, probably the best known chapter in Isaiah to most of us is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And there's a reason for that. It is one of the outstanding chapter on the sufferings of our Lord in the Scriptures. But I want to look tonight at the servant. Chapter 52. And you know, let me make this remark. There is something that just cheers my heart about the Scriptures. It doesn't leave me wanting to know. It tells me before the fact what the Lord is going to accomplish. I don't have to worry about knowing the end. He tells me. It's just seeing how marvelous he did accomplish those things. Listen to what he would say here in Isaiah 52 before he gets in that chapter 53. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall. Now, there's one of them simple terms of the covenant. Now, I love the wills and the shalls, don't you? Now I can stand up here and I can draw you up a contract, and I can use all the herefores, why to, henceforth, pertaining to, all these different terminologies, and I can have you totally confused. But there's a simple way to understand that contract. Look for your wills and your shalls. I don't care what the contract is. You look at the will and the shalls in that contract and you will understand that contract. You can understand the gist of the contract. And this shall is one of the covenant of grace terminologies that is used in it. That shall, we love those shalls, don't we? Now, down south now, they call us hard shells. My favorite comeback is, I'm not a hard shell, but I'm a hard shaller. I'm a hard shaller, brother. I come down hard on the shells. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now, what servant is it? This is the servant of the 53rd chapter. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and be extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And there's a whole message in that sprinkling there. Many nations, the king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. A few of those kings that had been shut out of the covenants of grace. You're one of those Gentiles we read about in Ephesians 2 that was without hope in the world. That would really mean something to you, wouldn't it? See, they were without hope. But I hope tonight to show you that they had something that they didn't even know about. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe tonight, has something that she doesn't even realize she has. All right. Notice it now. Behold my servant. And I want to speak to you on this servant. That word behold. I always try to explain that word like this. Now, down in my section of the country, we had a lot of railroad tracks out in remote areas. And all those areas at the crossing, they had a big cross on it like that. Railroad. But then they always had a sign posted down under it. And that sign says, stop, look, and listen. And when we see a behold in the Bible, stop, look, and listen, and see what it's there for. He says, behold my servant. Listen to my servant. Look at my servant. Hear my servant. Yes, behold my servant. I want to look back, and it's in the book of Isaiah. It's amazing. In this section, it just builds up on this servant that's going to make the sacrifice for sin and the payment that is recorded, pre-recorded in Isaiah 53. Let's go back and start at chapter 42. Chapter 42. Behold my servant. Here he is again. Lord, I believe the Lord wanted to get our attention, don't you? I believe he wants you to behold his servant. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Now there's where strength comes in, brother. Now that's real strength. Behold my servant, mine elect. The one, my chosen. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon would say, there's not one among a woman, but of the men, there's one among a thousand. And you know, in the all human history, there has only been one man among all mankind that could ever went on that cross and paid the debt of sins. One man. One man. Aren't you thankful for that one man tonight? One man. I'm so thankful for him. Behold, mine elect, the one I have selected, the one the Lord selected. Now, you know, we live in a time frame where men like to make their own choices, don't you? You ever talk with anyone, well, I just like to make my own choices, thank you. Well, I like to make my own choices on a lot of things, but there's some things I know I'd make the wrong choice. I'd make the wrong choice. But I know this. The Lord God of heaven has not made a mistake. He has not made a mistake. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. The Lord Jesus Christ was a pleasure to His Father. Now, I've got a son. He's doing well, and I'm thankful for him. But I'm going to have to admit something to you tonight. He hasn't always pleased me. He hasn't always been a delight to me. There's been times that Daddy got a little upset at some of the things the son did. But the testimony is, and in whom my soul delighteth, his soul, the soul of the Father was delighted in the Son. Notice it. I have put my spirit upon him. I'm not going to take time to go back tonight and bring all these spirit in. But Jesus Christ had the fullness of the Godhead bodily in him. He had the, when he was standing at the waters of baptism, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit of God in the form of a dove descended, and the Father says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him, brother, in whom I am well pleased." And then in the Transfiguration, he added, "Hear ye him. Hear ye him." So I believe he had an important message, don't you? He had the message. Yes, he did. But he was full of the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit upon him. Listen to this next verse. He shall. Now that word shall means something before determined. Something before determined. This was something that was already determined. Now what shape were the Gentile people in at this time? Most of them were worshiping idols. You go back in the early Bible and you read there and you come, and men became very wicked. And God sent a flood. And chose Noah and started over in the sense. But did you know within 10 generations they were worshiping all kinds of gods? Well, it didn't really take 10 generations. And in one of the gods in Rome was the two-faced god. You read about him, the two-faced god. The record, historical record says that God was the God for Noah. They were worshiping men. They were worshiping Noah. And the reason Noah was a two-faced God was he was the God that looked back and he was the one that looked forward after the flood. Men had corrupted themselves. So the Lord turned to Abraham. And the Gentiles were primarily had no fellowship with the Lord. They were outside the commonwealth of Israel. They didn't have the blessings of the scriptures as Israel had, the oracles of God. They didn't have those blessings. But did you know something? As I read and study this, it just warms my heart. Even though the Lord was only dealing with one people, He had a people all among those Gentiles. He had a people among those Gentiles. And that just warms me to think about it. Think of the blessings they missed. Think of the blessings we miss. Sometimes, because we're not diligent in walking in the way the Lord would have us to walk. They were already in the Lord's mind. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke's gospel when he come and they were ready to cast him over the hill after he had just spoken wonderful words out of the book of Isaiah to them, 61st chapter of Isaiah. He'd just spoken wonderful to them. They were amazed at how he understood all these things. But then very shortly, they were ready to cast him over the hill. Why? Because he brought up the names of two Gentile peoples and how they had been blessed. Naaman the Syrian, the widow of Sarepta. Been blessed in the Old Testament. Gentiles blessed. And, you know, the Jewish people, they became so exclusive. Exclusivism will kill the church. It will kill the church when you become too exclusive. Let me tell you the most inclusive doctrine in all the Bible. That is the doctrine of election. Folks, we have something to preach to people. We have a message to carry to people. We have a doctrine that tells people that there will be more people in heaven than they ever imagined. Yes, we have a message tonight. We have a message to carry. We need to be sharing it, don't we? We need to be sharing it. And we don't need to be sitting on the pews stone-faced when a man is trying to preach the truth to you like that. I mean, this should be something that moves you, that before the foundation of the world, the Almighty God of heaven chose you in Christ. And why did He choose you in Christ? That you would be holy and unblameable before Him in love. But you got a wonderful legal position tonight. You got a wonderful legal position. But you know we should be pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling that, like I spoke this morning, and underscore the fact that what we are positionally, we should be pressing towards that mark practically in our lives. Behold my servant whom I hold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. Listen to this. Here's another one of them shalls. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. You know what that word judgment means? A verdict. A verdict. Let's just go ahead and tie the fourth verse in with this now. He shall not fail. Does that warm your heart to know that? That if he knew you in Christ before the foundation of the world, when he come into this world, And the prophecy was on him, spoken to his father, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, the first shall was that Mary shall bear a son. I love those shalls. And that, you know something? The older I've gotten, that has become my favorite funeral text. My favorite funeral text. Because I got a message for people. Amen. I have a message for people when I come before them. I got a message of real hope. Yes. Real hope. Not just I hope I win the lottery so I can buy me a new car. One in about 14.5 million chances you'll win something. No, we got a real hope because it's based on real promises. The promises made by an unchangeable God. Don't you love that? I'm thankful I'm up here tonight proclaiming a God that does not change. I am the Lord, he would say. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And the reason we won't all be consumed, my friends, is because he changes not. Now, that'll preach. I love that. I'm thankful that I'm not having to just wonder anymore. I tell you, when this thing of preaching started coming on me, I owned the hardware store and I was doing well. And I was on the way. I was doing well. But I'd walking around that hardware store and this thought come to me, you're going to have to preach Primitive Baptist. Oh, no. I was raised among the Primitive Baptists. My dad was a preacher for a long number of years among the preachers, but I'm not going to preach for the Primitive Baptists. That went on for quite a while. And I went through 5 years of trying to deny the God of heaven. Five of the most miserable years I have ever spent in my life. 5 years of laying down at night, afraid that I would never open my eyes again. Finally, even this old hard head got cracked. This old hard head got cracked. And you know what I enjoy doing better today than anything else? Oh, I love to make a good deal. I'm a deal maker. I'm a deal maker, like I was telling the brother. I love a good deal, and I love to find a good bargain. And man, I've got a Lincoln Town Car at home that I bought. It was 7 years old, but it didn't have it about 80,000 miles on it, and I bought it for $6,500. I put more miles on it than it had, and Lord's blessed me, and I got it for $6,500. That was the best deal on a car I'd ever had. And I love that. But you know what I love more? I love what I'm doing tonight. I love what I'm doing tonight. I would be willing to give it all up just to do what I'm doing tonight. Because I know one that has loved me with an everlasting love. And I know one that there was a verdict reached over 2,000 years ago. And I have the assurance in my heart at this time that I was represented in him when he hung upon the tree of the cross. I'm telling you, there's nothing will come close to it. Nothing will come close to it with that peace in the heart when you find this servant. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till, adverb of time, the Lord walked the shores of time for about 33 years. But the majority of the time he walked here on this earth, it was in relative obscurity. His birth is accounted for us. Now, he doesn't tell us to do what people does all over today and get excited and have all this stuff and about Christmas and all that stuff. He tells us to remember his death. Every time we come to the communion service, that should be a reminder to us, had he not. Paul says, tells us that Christ says, remember his death till he comes. And there are two promises in that, brother. Yes, the Lord blessed us. And we know that he is coming again the second time without sin unto salvation, because he accomplished everything the Father sent him to do. Amen. when he was upon the tree of the cross. I love to preach the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I especially enjoy sitting down with people that has never heard this wonderful message and being able to share with them this passage here, that he shall not fail nor be discouraged. And if you believe that everyone, that Christ died for everyone upon the cross, then you got to believe that in a universal salvation. You can't believe that some are going to hell, or you'll have to say he failed. But I can tell you a message that he finished the work.
Yes.
He finished the work. That's such a wonderful message, folks. And we need to start spreading it more. We need to start spreading it more. I was talking to brother tonight. There's a few other orders of people that invited me to go preach for them. I preached a series of messages for the Free Will Baptists. Now, brother, you don't get much different than that than us. Started on Sunday night. Congregation of people is about their average congregation in their church. Monday night, must have said something that rung true with them, because Monday night they had invited more people in. Tuesday night, there's more people in. The house was full. Wednesday night, the house was full. The aisles were full of people. They had all the chairs around the pulpit and down the aisles, and people were standing all around the walls. You know what I was preaching on? Ephesians 1. And I have never got the response in a Primitive Baptist church that I got in that Free Will Baptist church last night. People were standing there with their hands in the air praising God. I believe we need to do more reaching out and be willing to go out. Yes, I believe it. If nothing else that you get out of this, I want to encourage you to step out by faith. The Lord's given you a wonderful gift. Faith is a wonderful gift. But faith not used is not much good, is it? Not much good. Yes, faith and repentance both are gifts of God. They're gifts, they're nouns. But I tell you what, in us, they're to become verbs. They're to become active. Active in our lives. I encourage you tonight to carry the message of the servant with you tonight. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment. I'm talking about a judgment, a set judgment. Now, what is a set judgment? The judge has handed down the verdict. And it has been enacted into the legal system. Brother, your judgment has already been handed down. And I love to preach Matthew 25 on the judgment. Because I can preach a judgment of identification and separation. The sheep will be divided from the goats. You know, he already knew those sheep, didn't he? He didn't have that judgment to see if they were worthy. He just separated them. Yes, I love to preach that. You know why I love to preach that? Because I know what the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ teaches in Scriptures. And that is wonderful to me. He shall not fail till he has set judgment in the earth. And the isles, the Gentiles, shall wait for his law. I'd like to say a little bit on Isaiah 49, still speaking of the servant. But the context here is the servant is speaking. here Christ, the great prophet of the church. And that's what he is. See, a prophet in the Old Testament was brought the message from God to man. The priest was returned the response back from man to God. Christ, the great prophet of the church, brought the message that the high priest would perform. Now, the high priest and the priest in the Old Testament, all they had was the blood of bulls and goats. But our high priest entered in one time. One time. He died one time. He suffered one time. Nothing has to be repeated. There was no need of second chances. Not the first need of a second chance. He entered in one time, having obtained eternal redemption for who? His people. Who are His people? Those chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's not going to lose one, is he? I love John 6 and 37 and 38 and 39. Just can't hardly preach without it sometimes. All that the Father giveth to me shall, there's that old shall again, isn't it, brother? All that the Father giveth to me, it's already been determined, my friends, that they're going to come to Him. Because they're going to be effectually called. And I so love that I mentioned this morning about the call of Abraham, and where God says, I took. That, brother, now that is the best explanation of the effectual call that I can find. Simple. I took Abraham. He didn't ask permission from nobody. He didn't ask permission, did he? But here the great prophet of the church tells what the gives us a prophetic rendering of what the high priest, Christ the priest, would accomplish. This chapter is a chapter that I seemed to me that people just hasn't understood. True missions is embraced in this chapter and what the Father did for the Son. I'm talking about true missions. Did you know there has only ever been one true missionary? Only one true missionary. The Lord Jesus Christ came on a mission. Amen. And that mission was to save His people. The only missionary that has ever saved a soul is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When He was on a mission from the Father to come, bleed, and die upon the tree of the cross. Yes. Now men sending out what they call missionaries today. I appreciate some of the things. But they just got the wrong message. They should tell about the missionary. They should tell what the missionary has accomplished. And see, I'm talking to Primitive Baptists tonight, and what I'm wanting you to do is that you carry the message of the real missionary that accomplished the will of His Father, which sent Him into this world on a mission to save His people from their sins. And we can have a mission. But it's not to save people from their sins, but it is to tell people how they were saved from their sins. And that's a lot better message. You know what? There's not going to be any failure in that. Not a bit of failure. Now, brother, you like things that don't fail? You know, I don't want to buy a car that I'm riding up down the road and scared it's going to fail. I was depending on myself out there to save somebody. I'd be scared all the time that I was going to fail. Scared all the time. But here he comes. He says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother." Now, any doubt who that is? That's the virgin birth. Yes. But then he comes on down, and I want to get into a couple of verses here and get out of the way, because it's impossible to preach all this on the servant. Verse 5, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered." He says, I'm bringing Jacob again to him, though Israel's not going to be all gathered. Isn't that wonderful? What he came to do, he's going to accomplish. But they're all not going to be gathered together in an assembly to praise him for it. "Again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of my Lord. And my God shall be my strength." And he says, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore," listen to this wording, folks, "and to restore the preserved of Israel." Sound like it already preserved, don't it? Do you? For the Lord come. They were already preserved. They were already in the mind of the Lord. They were already, sounds like to me, the one that began the work was going to finish the work in them. All right. "Restored and preserved of Israel. And I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the world." The end results is what's recorded for us in Ephesians 2. They're all made one household. So many don't know that tonight. Our brothers and sisters all over this country. I don't have a doubt the Atlanta area is saturated with them. We don't have them all gathered in, do we? But they're out there. And they're just as much his as any of us are. They just don't have the hope that we have. They don't have the assurance of salvation that we have. Because they're placing their assurance on a commitment by them. And the Bible tells us not to put our trust in man or the son of man. And when you're trusting in yourself to make that commitment, you're trusting in man. You're trusting in man. But aren't you glad you don't have to trust in but one man? The man, Christ Jesus. The one who came from the portals of glory. And you know who he had on his mind? Just like that old high priest over in the Old Testament. When he went in, he had on that breastplate. And he went on that Day of Atonement and he made atonement for a particular certain people. He didn't make an atonement for the ites of the land. He made atonement for his people. And I'm so happy tonight that I have the assurance that just as the names of the tribes of the children of Israel were written on that breastplate, the people that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world was in his heart as he hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, facing what we could not face, facing untold agony. I tell you what, he defeated all the things that the evil of this world could throw at him. He did suffering that you and I could never even imagine. But he was successful. He did not fail. And you know, when he came off of that cross, he wasn't discouraged, was he? Who was discouraged? The men on the Emmaus Road were discouraged, wasn't they? They were discouraged, but Christ wasn't discouraged. He was not discouraged, and he began to reveal himself to them. You know, I'm thankful for one thing Luke tells us there, that he opened the understanding of the apostles. And through them, we have understanding tonight. We have a tremendous blessing, folks, but we have a big job before us. Do you want to see revival in the Primitive Baptist? Do you have that desire in your heart tonight? You know where it's going to start? Point to your own heart. Point there. And we get serious about it there. I believe the Lord would bring revival to us. Amen. He'll pour out a blessing to us that we cannot even imagine. Come ahead, brother. I just can't get through tonight.